Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers, past, present, and future mothers. Today we celebrate what we recognize and honor our mothers, thanking them for all that they have done for us, the many cares, concerns, and sacrifices that they have done. There is an element of care that only a mother have, their deep commitment to our well-being at a level that mothers can only attain. The fathers don't necessarily have that level of care that the mothers have. It's kind of like an example of the senior pastor of the church. There's things that I carry as a burden that the Lord has given with the position that Pastor Ron doesn't have. He's not up at night praying for the direction of the church. He's not woken up in the middle of the night saying, hey, we have some financial concerns. Lord, what do we do? He doesn't carry those burdens that I carry. Oh, he may be a servant of the Lord, but he doesn't have that burden. In the same way, our mothers have a burden that the fathers don't have. Whether your kids are grown, moved away, or little babies, there is a care and concern in the mother's heart that never leaves, that they always hold on to. Now, in the same way, our mothers carry similar concerns for other children as well. Wow, I wish I could help that mother. I wish I could help that child. Oh, perhaps they shouldn't be going in that direction. But they can pray. Our mothers pray. I can look back and see the times where my mother was praying for her kids and other people as well. I was the last of the five kids that they thought would get saved. Think about that. And yet, they didn't give up. And so, our mothers set an example for us to follow, and sometimes we'll reflect on some of the comments that they've made in the past. Here are some funny things, examples that mothers have said in the past. Christopher Columbus's mother wrote this: I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher, you could have written. Michelangelo's mother said, Mike, can't you write on the walls like every other child? You have any idea how hard it is to get that paint off the ceilings? Goldilocks and the Three Bears, her mother wrote, hey, we got a bill from the Bear family. You know anything about this? Albert Einstein's mother: Albert, it's your senior year picture. Can't you do something with your hair? Put in some styling gel or something? Could you imagine? Thomas Edison's mother: of course I'm proud of you that you invented electricity and the light bulb, Thomas, but turn off the lights and go to bed. Humpty Dumpty's mother: Humpty, how many times have I told you not to sit on that wall? Right, we can all look back and laugh at something our mothers may have said, or perhaps it was something serious that our mothers told us that directed a path for us. Something that really implanted in our hearts, hey, I'm going to do this each day of my life. You know, when an ambulance would go by when I was a young kid, my mother told me, hey, pray for those people. So every time I hear a siren, whether it's police, fire, I pray, oh Lord, help those people. Be with them. They could be on their dying bed running to the hospital. I never forgot that. I'm 52 today. I do it today as well. Anytime. These are things that were imparted in my heart, impressions that were given to me from my mother. Now there's other things that I don't want to keep that my mother told me, right? I'm a little germophobic for some of the things my mother told me, and we won't discuss that here in this environment. But other mothers are different. Mothers are different. However, there is a distinction between a Christian mother and a non-Christian mother. Let me tell you this. Whether you had a good experience with your mother or not, because there are some people that cringe on Father's Day. They had a bad father example. Or perhaps on Mother's Day, they had a bad mother's experience. And so on Mother's Day, it's not necessarily a happy time for them. Or you had a great mother and things were fantastic. Great examples were given. Listen to this and don't forget it. You've heard me say many, many times that you are an example to someone. Whether you are a mother, past, present, or future, people may look to you as a mother figure. My father was our first associate pastor when we started this church, and he's gone to be with the Lord now. But there were so many people after he passed that said, you know what? I looked up to your father as my father because I didn't have a good example. Think about that. Your kids may be up and grown already, and you didn't have an opportunity to give them the Christian upbringing. Matter of fact, you may have been a heathen, but the Lord saved you at some point in your life, and your kids are grown. Now what? You can be an example. Just listen, by your consistency and your love for the Lord. As you set yourself up and understand that people are watching you. There's young women in the church saying, well, I'm a young mother. Hey, how did you do it? What is it like to grow older as a woman, perhaps even as a widow? I'm watching you. How are you responding to this? What's happening in your life? You see, people are watching you. And impressions that you give at an early stage may stay with your kids forever. Good, bad, or indifferent. Remember that. And the fact that you show up here each week is an example for someone to look at because you are consistent. Consistency in some people's lives is a foreign word. There is no consistency. And they're looking for someone to hold on to, someone to be an example for them. And that could be you in the church. Once again, your kids are older, moved out. You don't think you're influencing anybody. Oh, but you are. Oh, but you are. There's people watching you. So the question is asked, what makes a Christian mother distinct from other mothers? And the answer is salt. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." A Christian mother isn't necessarily better than other mothers, because there are people that do great in motherhood, right? They know how to care for their kids, provide for their kids, direct their kids. But she has a special seasoning due to the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is all of us do. But today is Mother's Day. We want to look specifically at mothers. The believing mother has a wealth of resources available, listen, to train and to discipline and love her children in grace of God, in the grace and mercy of the Lord. Wow, never thought of that, right? Have you ever thought about just the fact that you're here today is an example to someone who was looking for consistency in someone around them. Someone that they can come to. Why? Because you always have a smile on your face. Why are you always smiling? Let me talk to you. Hey, you greet me every time I come in this church. That's pretty neat. No one's ever loved me. Matter of fact, everyone around me has told me that. That I would make nothing of myself, right? And those are the people that are drawing for someone to pay attention to them. Listen, mothers, you have great experience. My mom had 5 wild kids. Well, some more wilder than others, right? And I was in the wild section. You know, we were jumping off the roof with umbrellas. We were doing some all kinds of crazy stuff. We thought we were Mary Poppins. We watched the movie. Hey, I can do that, right? Nah, not so much. Does your presence as a mother bring a delightful taste to those around you? The following 12 qualities posted by Crystal McDowell are just a tip of the virtues provided by God through Jesus Christ, listen, to equip and encourage mothers. Now, you may never have a child. Maybe that's not what the Lord planned for you. Maybe you had a child. It doesn't matter. Today, you're still an example to someone, whether the kids are young or the kids are older. Remember that. And so here's some virtues we want to look at to encourage and equip you, listen, to be a good example of the Lord. You're an ambassador of the Lord. We're supposed to show the love of Christ in all we do. And mothers have that special place to do that. Number one quality is she possesses a keen sense of discernment. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14 tells us the discerning heart seeks knowledge. A good Christian mother stays intimately connected with God so that she will keep discerning heart. She's willing to grow in knowledge through the reading of God's word, absorbing the truth from mature godly mothers. God grants her discernment in the lives of her children. And so discernment is very interesting. A mother can tell when something's wrong, right? There's a discerning that happens in her heart. Your mother can look at you and say, hey, you okay? What's going on? And, you know, as a teenager, you don't want to tell your mom, hey, no, I'm fine, Mom, leave me alone, right? But there's a discernment. She has an understanding. What's interesting is she knows when you're lying too, right? It's written all over your face. You think you got her fooled, right? I remember as a young kid, everybody was sneaking out of the house at like midnight, right? So I'm creeping down the hallway with a pair of sneakers, and my mom's there. She goes, where are you going? I was like, oh, I heard something. And I ran back in my room. You think she didn't know? Of course she knew. There's a discernment that our mothers have, and God gives that to them. And it's done, listen, by the cultivating of that relationship with the Lord. It's the praying to the Lord. It's reading the word of the Lord. It's being filled of the Spirit of the Lord. And it's walking in the Spirit of the Lord, in kindness, in grace, and in mercy. Number two, persist in prayer at all times. Luke 18 says, they should always pray and not give up. In 1979, me and my two brothers were in a severe car accident. My older brother, Chris, and myself had fractured skulls. We were in the hospital. They didn't think we were going to make it. The priest came and gave us our last rites. And they wanted to give us a CAT scan. So at the time, those machines were very new. And we were at North Broward Hospital, and the machine was broken. So we couldn't get these CAT scans. In the meantime, our brains were swelling from the fractures. And they're like, we're probably going to have to transport them down to Broward Boulevard. My parents walked around that church in prayer, trusting in the Lord, praying, calling people, hey, pray, this is what's going on. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? Those machines started to work. Is God real? Godly mothers persist in prayer, continuing seeking the Lord on behalf of their children. Are you praying for your son's future wife if he's not married today? Are you praying for your daughter's future husband? Are you praying for your grandkids? Are you praying for their well-being, their guidance and direction in their life? That's what is a distinction of a godly mother, a Christian mother, and a non-Christian mother. Number one, discernment. Number two, prays all the time. A believing mom never gives up on her children, especially her prodigals. Don't give up on your children. Keep praying for them. They may be on the other side of the country. Keep praying for them. Especially if they don't even know the Lord. Keep praying for them. Don't give up. Keep praying. My parents didn't give up on me. And God is not giving up on you. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I was a terrible mother. I can't believe some of the things I did. And God is saying, today is a new day for you to be an example to whoever He brings in your path. You can be an example of a godly mother that perhaps you weren't with your own kids, but your kids, if they're still around, are going to be watching. Things that were said, God will take away those bad memories. God will impart forgiveness in their heart, but you as a godly mother, as one who prays continuously. Number three, demonstrates unconditional love. That's an example of Christ, right? No matter what my children do, no matter what my two boys do, they will always be my two boys, won't they? There's nothing that can take them away from that position. They're my children, I'm their father. Nothing can change that. In the same way, you are a child of God. No one can take that from you. They that have the Spirit, these have the rights to be called the sons of God. A godly mother shows that characteristics of our Father with unconditional love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. A mother who loves God with all her heart isn't afraid to unconditionally love her children. She recognizes that her patience will be tried by disobedience, but it will never cause her love to regress in anger. Her love spurs confidence in her offspring, since they never worry about the loss of love due to that bad behavior. Listen, kids are going to rebel, period. Now, I've met with some people, oh, my daughter is so wonderful. She's a blessing from the Lord. And yes, she may be wonderful and a blessing from the Lord, but she's only 11. Talk to me when she's 14 and 15. She's still a blessing from the Lord, but there will be disobedience that happens. Listen, it's natural. This is what happens at that age. But you, as a mother, can live a supernatural life by unconditional love. They won't always be that way. One day they may be the pastor of a church or the president of the country. That's not them forever, right? So what has to remain consistent in their life is you. You need to be consistent. Because they're going through all kinds of seasonal changes, but you now be consistent. Unconditional love. That's what Christ's example for us is, right? Number four, cultivates a joyful environment. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. Well, how does that happen if your house is in chaos? Listen, if you have, my boys were 13 months apart. That means they both had high chairs and car seats at the same time. That was a little difficult. It's like having twins. It was double everything. And there were times where things were chaotic, right? So how in the world could you keep a joyful environment? Well, that's because you've been with the Lord. And you realize this is part of raising kids. It's kind of like herding cats. You can't herd a cat, right? They're all over the place. Sometimes it's difficult as the kids are young. But you need to be that consistent pillar in their life. And so those who enter into the home of a godly mother sense the presence of her joy. Her deep-rooted joy sustains her through difficulties in living in an ungodly world. She has mastered the ability to encourage her children toward joy in every situation. Listen, that has to be intentional. That just doesn't happen. How many agree with me? Yeah, absolutely. You have to consciously say, wait a minute, I need to step back and I need to let the Lord step in, right? Let me step back, let him step in. And now I'm going to let the Holy Spirit enable me in life situations to create an joyful environment. Remember that. Kids will change. You need to be consistent. And so they cultivate this joyful environment. Where does joy come from? Well, it comes from the heart. Joy comes from the heart. Once again, kids might not be around, grown up and moved away, you can be all of these in Christ Jesus for someone else. Number five, exhibits steadfastness in the Word of God. Psalms 111:10, all who follow His precepts have good understanding. So she's steadfast in the Word of God. She knows truth from deception, right? She hopefully is not going to lead you along a path of a false doctrine. Why? Because she studied the Scriptures. She knows the Word of God. She's living a godly life by the power of the Holy Spirit, trusting in Him, waiting upon Him, hoping in Him, not living in fear, but in faith. That's what a godly mother looks like. These are the qualities that she has. Also the qualities of the Lord, right? She meditates on the Holy Scriptures regularly. The Christian mother actively engages the Word of God for every problem in her home. Are we doing that, mothers? Let's start now. Once again, you may be a mother figure to someone else. She meditates on the Holy Scriptures regularly. Her family witnesses her diligence and learns from her example to apply God's teaching to everyday lives. I used to watch my father, because he went to seminary school, reading the Scriptures, studying the Word. I'm like, it's just one book every day? He didn't read it yet? I mean, in my heart, that's how I felt. I'm just being honest. As a kid. But as I grew older, I began to see that, listen, it was so important to him. There's something about it, right? Listen, if church isn't really important in your house, don't expect your kids to think it's important. If God and His relationship with you is not prominent and paramount in your house, don't expect your kids to think it is. Right? Don't turn them over to the world and say, oh, they're going to come out good. Oh, they're probably not. A godly mother's quality is steadfastly in the Word of God. And so she's being filled and matured in the wisdom of the Scriptures and the character of the Lord, right? Once again, remember, someone's watching you. And I don't say, and I hope you don't say that or think that that's a bad thing. That's a great thing. Because here's what it does. It causes me to check myself. If someone's watching me, hey, you know what? I might not want to talk that way because it's not encouraging to them. If someone's watching me, hey, you know what? I'm tired today. I worked all week. I can only sleep in it on Sundays. Hey, you know what? But there's somebody struggling at church that by me showing up shows consistency and joy in their heart to see me smile when I walk in the house, in the church. Think about that. So these are active things that we need to do. Be engaged in the Word of God if we are going to be an effective Christian mother. Number six, forgiveness. Forgives the offenses of others willingly. Wow, that's a big deal, right? That's a huge big deal. Because the good news of the Scripture is that God has forgiven us our sins. And He tells us, forgive others as God has forgiven you. How did God forgive you? We just asked, right? We just asked for forgiveness. And He's forgiven us. And so that's available to all of us. You may have had a horrendous childhood. And once again, you look back and reflect, hey, this isn't a great, happy day for me. Oh, I pray it is because God wants you to do different. You take the good and you leave the bad. And once again, we're being examples to those around us. John 20, 23, if you forgive others their sins are forgiven. And so some of us hang on to things that have happened to us. You have to realize, if you analyze, like my father didn't have a good upbringing. He had no good example on how to be a husband, how to be a father. And so in his early days, he got in some trouble. He got in the service and got some direction in his life. And for my older brothers and sister, he was a little more aggressive. Then he got saved. And everything changed about him. And I was a little kid, about 8 or 9 years old, I think, around that age when my father got saved. So I saw a different father than they saw. They saw the BC dad, and I saw a man of God that I can follow. And so as we analyze perhaps our upbringing, we have to look back and say, well, he didn't know what to do. He didn't have a good example. He didn't know how to love as God has loved. He loved with the fist in the hand because that's what he saw. Wait a minute. That changes everything, right? That changes everything of how now we analyze why perhaps we were treated such a way. Maybe there was an addiction involved. Who knows? But be that as it may, forgiveness comes willingly to the godly mother. These are examples that we have to show other people. Everyone, forgive others as Christ has forgiven you. Oh, if you only knew. No, I don't know. I don't know. And I was a policeman for 29 years. I've seen it all. So there's nothing you can tell me, oh, I can't believe that. No, I can believe that. There's some evil things that happen out there. But God is a God of forgiveness. And she rather chooses to forgive immediately and trust the Holy Spirit to heal her hurts. Her family recognizes this principle in her life and practices forgiving others as a way of life. Listen, you're an example. You can do it today. You can be an example to someone in your church. Someone may come up here and pray, oh, if you only know what happened. Yeah, God knows. And this is your test to show the love of Christ, to overcome that anger that you once had, because it becomes and it festers like a cancer. Forgive as he is forgiven. All we had to do is ask, right? Oh, no, they're going to prove themselves to me, man. I'm not. No, that's not the standard. And these are the examples. Why is this important? The answer is because she has set an example for her kids to follow. Forgiveness is one of the keys in our Christian walk. You with me? Number 7, embraces a spiritual contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. A godly mother resists the urge to be content with her surroundings, or not to be content with her surroundings, with her children or her husband. She recognizes that the chastening of the worldliness and the riches will never bring her peace. Listen, you're being an example to your kids. Are you chasing the dollar? Is everything money in the future and retirement? Remember the rope? This is your eternity. The rope continues forever. And our life is just this little bit of that rope. Is we worried about this little section right here? Are we content with what the Lord has? And I'm not saying it's okay to pursue and grow and increase. The point is that are we sacrificing everything to chase the dollar, or are we content with what the Lord has with us? And if He wants us to grow in finances, He's going to provide that. Am I sacrificing my relationship with my family, with my kids? Or am I going to say, hey, I'm not working on Sundays. I don't care what money I'm leaving behind. Have you made that sacrifice? Well, a godly mother shows that contentment is very important. Number 8, trust in God. Psalm 9. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Her trust is in the Lord. It's not in her ability to be a great mother. It's in her ability to trust in God to make her a great mother. Because now she has standards perhaps she didn't have at one time before. Her trust in God is most evident during the difficult seasons in her life. The Christian mother is tempted, like others, to believe and to doubt the Lord's hand over her life. Yet she remains steadfast in the ability to take care of her family's needs. She establishes a trust relationship with God and grows every day. Now, from a worldly perspective, this seems like a risk, wouldn't you think? It seems like a risk. But from a Christian perspective, her risk shows courage and trust in the Lord. An acronym for risk. Number 1, R, responsibility. She senses the need to act and knows when to engage. A Christian godly mother trusts in the Lord. She's been given discernment, right? Unconditional love. She knows the word of God. And so she has this responsibility to know when to act. I, initiative. She responds when God leads her to act. These are life lessons that everybody doesn't have. Because everybody hasn't been brought up in the way of the Lord. And so now we're learning and we're seeing, and perhaps these things that I'm telling you, you may be able to tell your grandkids and your daughter or a friend or someone else. It's so important, mothers, what you do at an early age. S, sacrifice. She lives a selfless life, willing to sacrifice for her children. Only a mother knows the true sacrifices that she has made for her children. Only she knows the depth of that. I remember as a young kid getting up to go to school, and my mom would be stirring farina at the stove like this. I remember this. Her eyes are closed. She was half asleep. But she was making breakfast for her kids. I remember that. And K, in the acronym RISC, is knowledge. She has sought the Lord and has enough information to trust the decision. Listen, I know this is the best thing. I know this is where to guide my child. Number 9, we only have 12, we're on number 9. Keep the faith. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful person will be richly blessed. Her faith will most certainly be tested in her roles of a wife and a mother. Her faith will most certainly be tested in these areas. But she will continue steadfast in the Lord. She will keep her faith. How does someone's faith grow? Hearing the word, right? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. By hearing the word of God. Number 10. She brings order to chaos. Now, I think sometimes my mom brought order to chaos with a wooden spoon and a shoe and a brush, whatever she could throw at us as we're running away, right? Proverbs 31:27 says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She teaches us importance of things, standards, right? Things that are so important. The Christian mother is marked for her diligence and resistance to laziness. Listen, this is so important for us to show at an early age. You know, my kids, my two sons and their boys were washing their own clothes at probably 12 years old, right? Maybe even earlier than that. They can learn how to wash clothes. Why can't they do that? They can learn how to clean their room. Now, obviously, I'm not letting them ride the tractor lawnmower at 12, but there's some things that they can learn at an early age. And so by the mothers showing them the importance of these things, they begin to grow and mature, right? Bringing order to chaos. Showing the children that they have a part in the home, right? They need to be able to help with the household. What are they doing? Well, they're creating responsibility, right? And they're showing those children how to live in a home and take care of a home while they're still in your home. And then when they send them out, he's not calling up, hey, what is, you know, recycle mean on the washer machine? No, they've already known. They've been doing it for years. They know how to vacuum. They know how to do things. If your kid's 15 and he still has a baba in his mouth watching television, you've done something wrong. Right? Because if you start at a young age, they'll learn, right? They'll grow. I used to watch Adam 12 and Rookies and all these police shows. Guess what was implanted in my head at an early age? And so influence at an early age begins to take root. And so a godly mother influences her kid. She brings order to chaos. And if that has to be by a wooden spoon, then let it be, right? Number 11, holds to what is right. Matthew 13:43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their father. A godly mother, she makes the tough decisions that run against the torrent of the social environment around us. She sticks to what is right in the eyes of God for her children's spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. A Christian mother expects resistance and refuses to compromise righteousness for acceptance. Once again, she creates the example for standards and boundaries for your kids to live at a later date. Now, if you watch television today, especially on the news, you'll see families going into stores and robbing them, where the kids are distracting the clerk and mom's filling her. Isn't that crazy? But who's raising the godly kids? Well, it's supposed to be us. And once again, you may have gotten saved at a later date. Today is the day you can be an example to someone. You can encourage a mother. Hey, I'm praying for you. I know it's hard, but it won't always be this way. I remember as my kids grew up, everyone used to say, and I knew this, but you have to live through it, is just, hey, cherish these days, they'll be gone, and they're gone. Those days that we were up at 4 in the morning taking them to a 5 o'clock hockey game are all gone, but we cherished those days, we loved it. And so time will pass, but your example, the impressions that you put on your kids, listen, and kids around you are very important. You've heard me talk about Andrew at the crossing guard. I can't get over it. It's amazing. Just a couple minutes a day, these kids will never forget this man. Wow. There's a lot of teachers that we could look back and remember because they were so bad, right? Oh, that teacher was the worst, right? That's what we remember. What about the good ones? Oh, we don't forget them either, right? So let's be the good ones, the good mothers. They're good examples of mothers in the house of the Lord and the surroundings around us to put impressions in the kids' hearts. because they'll never forget you. You've heard me tell the story about the two kids that were dropped off at daycare, and the parents would leave. They drop the two girls off and they leave. And the pastor said to the worker, why are these parents just dropping these kids off? Why don't they come into church? So the teacher asked one of the kids, why do you guys keep coming here each week and your parents don't come? And the kids said, because we are loved here. Ah, we are loved here. You have no idea what's happening behind the scenes in some people's houses. You have no idea. And your just little bit of compassion, love, and grace for however time it is that the kids are in the children's ministry is life-changing to them in some cases. You are the example of a godly woman, a godly mother. And you're not their mother, but you're an example to them. Never forget that. So everything that we do in our lives as Christians should be an example for others to follow. Ah, that's a big task. That's a big responsibility. Because you heard me say last week, I believe it was, that if our Christian walk in life was an example for everyone in the church to follow, what would it look like? Uh-oh. Some of us may be cringing. But here's the thing. Like I said, because someone's watching you, it should encourage you to take a look at your life and say, hey, what am I doing wrong? And finally, number 12. Willing to release her children to God. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint. The Bible says that our kids are like arrows in the quiver, and we just pull that arrow back and we send it on a straight path. And that's all we can do as parents. And then after that, we just be examples and encouragements, especially if the kids are out of the house. Love never fails. Mothers hang on to their children forever in their hearts, no matter how old they are, no matter where they may be. One early morning, a lady went to wake up her son. Wake up, son, it's time to go to school. The son replied, but why, Mom? I don't want to go. Mom said, give me two reasons why you don't want to go to school. The son said, well, the kids hate me for one, and the teachers hate me for two. Mom said, oh, that's no reason not to go to school. Come on now and get ready. And the son says, give me two reasons why I should go to school. And the mother said, well, for one, son, you're 52 years old. And for the other, you're the principal. Mothers are always there with a word of wisdom, right? While a Christian mother holds her children tightly around her heart, she realizes them to grow in Christ at their own pace. My kids are not me. Oh, they have some characteristics of me, but they are them. And I need to let them live their life as long as we have guided them and directed them with certain boundaries in life, and we let that arrow go. And then we trust and we love on them. And so I want to close by thanking our mothers for all that they have done for us and all that they continue to do for us. And I just want to read this one affirmation from John Killinger. He says, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. Now, it's interesting that there's not a lot of things that we see about Mary in Scripture. The first thing we see about Mary is her trust in the Lord when she's called by the angel. And the second thing is, hang on, guys. All right, go ahead, you're already here. The second thing is that when they change the water into wine, she says, do as he says. Listen to what he says. So there's been a great example. He continues, he says, I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance to live the lives and their children that they bear. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her children, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy. And so may the Lord bless all of our mothers today on this special day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.